Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
Oh man, it is getting dark on this episode of Pennyworth. Martha, she thinks she's seen the devil. Alfred, he thinks he's found Esme's killer. And his dad, he is hiding a pretty big secret. We're going to talk all about it starting right now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Why, hello, AfterBuzzers.
What's up, buddy?
How's it going? Happy Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
How's it going, guys?
I'm awake. I'm here. I'm making it happen, yeah.
We're glad to be back because we didn't have an episode last week, so I missed you guys.
You did?
Yeah,
oh, my God. Dang, I missed you, too.
And then, of course, we missed the episode of Pennyworth, so it's glad to be back, and we're glad to be here with you guys, giving you all the juicy deets of this episode. I'm your host, Benny Adams, aka Benny Worth. We have so much to talk about today, including our special segment where we're going to be talking about our favorite actors who have played Robin. Cool. Can't wait. But before we get into any more stuff, I want to introduce you to my awesome cast. Or castmates, or host.
I can take that.
To my left, I want to introduce you to the lovely Miss Queen of Comics. She loves all animated Batman, Superman, all DC, you name it. Miss Anais, a.k.a. Anna Nightwing.
Woo. What's up? The devil went down to London. He was looking for a soul to steal.
Oh, man.
Can't wait to talk about it.
Oh, man, yeah. And then we also have this guy. He is also another lover of all comics, Ben, a.k.a. Robin.
What's up, people? What's up, everybody? How's it going? And I have a really hard time to believe in devils and everything like that, to be honest. Very hard time.
And then last but not least, she was just at the, I want to say it was the Long Beach Comic Con,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
I saw your post.
That's a fun one.
I want to introduce you to Sherry, a.k.a. Sherry Worth.
Geek is in the house!
What?
Yeah, so this episode was another good, decent episode, but I want to know what you guys thought about it.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, there was so much stuff happening, and what I'm glad about is that I feel like Thomas and Martha right now, they come closer together, which I really like to see. I love that. Which implies that at some point they're gonna do, you know.
It's gonna happen.
And Batman is gonna rise.
It's gonna happen.
Oh gosh, Dark Knight rises. Okay,
that's right.
I enjoyed the episode a lot. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a great. More backstory as we get to know everybody, we get to know motivation.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, I think he did a little bit more than what he said to make his captain super mad at him like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. A little more than a joke. Something went on.
Huh.
Something.
Right.
Oh, no.
Okay. I think, I loved it. I thought it was another great episode. I feel like sometimes, certain shows, I feel like kind of made towards the end or the middle, I feel like they start kind of not being as good. But this show, you know, episode seven, I still love it. I'm still, you know, really into it, engaged. So good job.
Yeah, it's definitely.
It just gets really interesting too, like every time there's like something like, oh my gosh, so
yeah, it definitely keeps you on the edge of your seat. So let's start off with Bruce, Martha, and Patricia. Like you said, Bruce and Martha, they've been getting a lot of screen time lately. And I really like seeing their dynamic because they're so opposite.
But
like the age old saying,
like the banter, like they're a married couple.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
Opposites attract. So we start off with this episode where Martha, she's waking up from a crazy sex night, we can say. And we find out, poor girl.
Let's talk about sex.
Yes, and I can hear it this time.
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Oh, Ryan, we miss you, man. We miss you, man. I love it. I appreciate that every time.
So I lost my train of thought.
I got you, though.
So we find out that the poor girl has been missing for 3 days, and she had no idea whatsoever. Right. Thomas is pissed beyond belief. What did you guys think about, like, how her reaction was when she found out about that?
So, I mean, the first thing I thought, how did he get into the apartment? That was my first question. Because he was already in the apartment when she came home. Oh, probably. Okay, I can see that.
He's a CIA agent.
So that means they have keys for every door?
They have lock picks.
Oh, they know how to get into... Yeah.
Okay, that's good to know.
I thought it was... I liked that he was actually worried. I was like,
yeah. It felt like a couple already. Like, they have a relationship going on. And he was just worried about his wife. Why, my God, where have you been? And you're naked. Why are you naked? I was like, well, it always feels like a relationship. They're just waiting for the baby, you know?
Right.
So, yeah.
I wonder where she got that blanket. Like, because, I mean, she woke up naked and then now she somehow.
Right.
Blanket,
there was something on the tree, remember? The last show that was like something hanging on the tree.
Good.
Yeah. I got you, people.
I thought it was a dress.
I would have never got that.
Yeah. Okay. And thank you for
asking.
Well,
I was thinking, like, couldn't she have just, like, gone into a store and could have just said, hey.
Naked?
She was walking down the street with just a towel on or a cloth on. So, like, why not just go to a store and be like, hey, can I borrow some clothes?
No, I would just want to go straight home. Like, I don't want to, the less people see me like this, the better. Just anyway, like, I mean, I wouldn't go, she went like in the middle of the street where there's like a bunch of people. I would go like in like little alleys or somewhere where no one can see me.
Right.
Like, I don't need to walk in like the middle of a stream of like people.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I thought that she probably at first had stolen a blanket off of someone drying it in their yard or something.
Yeah.
And then I thought it was really interesting how people were reacting to her as she's walking through. Because, you know, people are in the city. I don't want to get involved. I don't want to help you. And there was one black guy who was looking like, I should help her, but then they'll accuse me of something.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say anything. Yeah. I thought it was interesting. And also, I wouldn't have gone down an alley or anything. Because some guy would have been like, well, she's already naked. I thought it was really interesting. And Wayne's attitude, first of all, you were in her house, so get the heck out. And then second of all, his almost sexist behavior towards him and towards her and her sister was a reminder as to why the sister's so rebellious and why they have such a somewhat adversarial role towards each other.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of his sister, Martha, Thomas is worried, or he's worried about his sister, trying to figure out where she is. And Martha says something to Thomas, saying he cares more about
the name
than his actual sister. Yeah. Do you guys think that's actually true?
No,
that he cares more about the name than his sister?
I kind of thought so. So I was kind of happy as she called him out. I was like, yeah, girl, because that's kind of what I understood, too. It's like, okay, you should be more concerned about your sister. Like, who cares about what other people think about your family? But I'm glad she called him out.
I think that was the first episode where we really learned more about him as a character, right, Thomas? So I think he's really about his prestige, his name, and his wealth, and what the name can bring to him, you know, out in the world. But I think now he's realizing even more, people telling him, hey, it's not just about that.
Yeah.
You just need, I'm happy. Do you understand what that is? And I think that's the first time that Thomas also realizes maybe he's not even the happy one. Maybe it's him who's not the happy one, even that he has the name. Now his sister coming to him realizing, hey, I'm happy. Why don't you give me that?
Yeah.
I think that's where he started thinking about, oh my God, what's happening here? If I'm the bad one right now, if I'm the one who's not happy. And I find that very interesting that he's now having this kind of, you know, mental journey that he's going on right now.
So, right.
Yeah.
not that she was perfect, because it seemed like she likes to be a bit of a roustabout with drugs and mm-hmm. hooking up with people, but she's a grown woman, so she'll do as she pleases. But the fact that he has the purse strings, and it feels like the parents probably had the same attitude towards her, which would make her more rebellious anyway. Mm-hmm. And it's fascinating what's drawing her to Mr. Devil Man. Namely, he's allowing her to be herself and do, you know, what she wants. And it seems like when you're not pushing and telling her to live up to our name, she's kind of chill. She's okay. She's she's cool.
Yeah. I think deep down, Thomas does care about his sister, and it comes off that he cares more about the name. I think he's the type of guy who doesn't want to show his feelings.
Yeah, I do definitely get that too. Or he just isn't good at it. If he wanted to, he's not good at it.
Right, and I think that's how he grew up, and maybe we haven't really been introduced to his parents yet, but maybe that's how he was raised, just to like, you're a man, hide your feelings, just it's all about business. And so I kind of think that's where he's coming from.
Right.
I want to really touch base on when they visit the place where Martha was in the last episode. There was a guy there that we're very familiar with, Jason Ripper. I'm still very confused as to why he's there.
Yeah,
maybe I missed something. I don't know, but
he's into that stuff.
His character seems very different. Like, did you guys pick that up? Like, when we were first introduced to him, he was this tough, snarky, like, I'm the big man on the street, and now he's this sex fiend. Did you guys get that?
Totally.
I think he's just being his true self, because I feel like being there, you get to be who you want to be, because it's all about, like, you know, pleasure and whatever. So it's like they have to be a certain way out in society because people are going to judge them and things like that. But when they're with Aleister Crowley, it's like they love sex, they can do it all they want, you know, there's no judgment there really. So I feel I don't know, that's my personal opinion, that that's just he gets to really just be himself and indulge in all the stuff.
I think Ella, because the show is always talking about that Alyssa might be like a pimp or something like that, you know, but I feel like he's just good in taking control over people by showing them how they can also be, you know, and we all have that, by the way, guys. Also, you guys at home, we all have a good and an evil side in us. We do.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think you just have to show us certain things that makes us really angry to actually make that come out.
Right.
That's the same thing that happened to Thomas, and I think maybe just for Jason was the other way. Maybe, you know what I mean? Maybe he came from the more outgoing, more kind of introverted, more kind of quiet guy right now, because Alistair is clearly his master. Clearly. Mm-hmm. And I think Jason does everything now that he wants him to do.
Right.
So, I think it's just a safe place for Jason, too, to be honest, right? I think that's where he can be, feel like, secure.
Right,
and just do whatever he feels like. So, yeah.
When he was in town, it was expected for him to be a Ripper, and he had his little Ripper crew. Mm. And so he had to conform to that. But now that he's in the mansion, he's able to do what he wants. He doesn't have to fight. He already got his butt beat. So he's probably much like, I'm not about that life no more.
It's kind of like Patricia. It's an escape for him. So he's escaping from his uncle. Patricia's escaping from, you know, the family business, the family name.
Right.
But so Thomas, he gives up with trying to take Patricia home. Martha is not having it whatsoever, because she knows something is not right, and she actually starts remembering what happened that night, and she starts to see the devil, which, you know, I was surprised that they brought this this into the show. What did you guys think about Satan / the devil being involved in Pennyworth?
Yeah, I think I mentioned it already a couple of minutes ago. I feel like, I mean, still, that's how also I was raised. I don't believe in that kind of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I just believe in things that I see. That's just me, right? But I just, as I said, I think it's just something that you can influence people with. You just basically show them something that you don't like to see, and out of a sudden, you become kind of evil a little bit. You become more aggressive. You just do things that you normally wouldn't do, because the society is kind of holding that down, obviously, because we have norms in life, right, that we follow. That's why we all live together.
Right.
That's how we can live together, right?
Yeah.
And I think, like, when Thomas sees the video with his sister on it, boom. He just freaks out and he's almost killing Jason. And then out of a sudden he's really, oh my God, I'm almost killed this guy. And he didn't even know what he was doing. Mm-hmm. But that's real life, by the way. That's what I believe in. I believe human beings can become this person. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just a very interesting thing to see in this episode, which is a fictional series, obviously, but this is also real life in a way.
Right.
So, yeah.
I thought it was interesting because I think back in the 60s, people were sort of doing that. But really, evil and good is a human construct. And what they're doing in the mansion seems to be consensual for most people. They want to have sex, drink, do drugs, whatever. So he's not really evil. But like in our chat, Ivan Soto was saying that did his uncle tell him not to be in London? But I guess maybe the mansion's a no man's land.
Good question. But we don't even really know if it's in London, right?
It's definitely in London. Yeah. Oh, it's really? Just a mansion on one of the rich neighborhoods.
He might not even know.
Oh, yeah, he probably does not know.
That's why he's just staying there. He's in like, there. I'm not leaving.
And he didn't want him calling the police because then they'd be like, I'm going to tell your uncle.
Yeah, that's true. So Thomas, he was not in for it with the whole devil thing. He didn't believe it. But something that really got me thinking when he was asked to make a deal, and Thomas was like, you know, I'll give you all this money, blah, 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 blah. But what was it? They wanted him to sell his soul to the devil. Mm. But Thomas kept on saying, you know, I don't believe in this. Let me just give you money. If he really didn't believe in the devil, why not just say, okay, I'm gonna sell my soul to the devil. I don't believe in this. Do you really think deep down he did believe before he went and watched that video?
I don't sign contracts for nothing. You know, it's a contract. I don't know what's in the details. So he's a businessman. He's like, true. Yeah, I'm not signing nothing.
It's a good question, though. Maybe he was kind of like a little bit confused when the door goes just shot. Without even Alistair touching the door. Everyone's like, well, the door just shut.
Well, right. I think because if he agreed, like, yeah, I'll sell my soul, then in a way it's like he's saying he believes in the devil because, yeah, so maybe that's why he didn't. Because I kind of like that too. Like, I don't believe, and I probably wouldn't say, like, yeah, sure, because I don't really believe that the devil exists.
And signing in blood? No, thank you. That seems unhygienic.
But I do want to say, the scene where... like, they're in the mansion, and then that, you know, Martha was talking about calling the authorities, and then Thomas was like, oh, we don't want to make a big deal about it. Kind of reminds me of, like, the stuff that happens now, where, like, certain things happen, people get hurt, like, well, you don't want to get the authorities involved, and then, I don't know, and then that they call women crazy, you know, it's like, oh, you're making this up and blah, blah, blah. This kind of reminded me of that a little bit. So I'm just saying, you know, it's kind of that stuff kind of still happens right now. People like don't really believe when not just women, but just in general, like something happens to them. They're like, well, you know, do you really want to like make some trouble? You know, you don't need to call authorities. You're just imagining things.
Yeah. And he was also saying that, you know, I'm really good friends with the police officers. And so that was another reason, like, okay, well, can't really call the cops because nothing is really going to happen. I guess that's how she felt, unfortunately.
But they don't believe women. And in our chat, Marianne Ivy says it's in Chelsea, which is also part of
I
understand. It's just a different part. And a posh part.
Melody Soto says something. I can't believe Ivan I hate Soto. Batman's dad.
Ivan Soto.
Oh, Soto. Sorry.
Oh. What?
Yeah, I'm not liking Batman's dad all that much either. He's a condescending sexist nitwit. So.
But people change.
Yeah, I'm hoping
people
he's change. Change me. Yeah, right now I'm not a fan, but hopefully...
I'm definitely hoping he will be a better person
because,
next
year. Because you know who's going to make him a better person? Martha. Just saying.
No, it's true. It's very true.
Behind every great man, there's a great man.
I mean, I love him. He brings us Batman. Come on.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So there was one part that was a little confusing to me. Is when he was watching a video where they were saying, okay, it's time for you to meet the devil. So he goes downstairs. Jason plays in this video and... his sister's in it, and you kind of get a glimpse of the video, and she has like the sign on her forehead. Then he gets enraged, and they say that, oh, I see you've met the devil. Now, in my head, I was like, he's mad because he's seeing his sister in these sexual positions. You know, anyone would get mad seeing their family member do that. So I was a little confused as how can he say, oh, I see you've met the devil, or the devil's in you?
The devil's in all of us.
That's exactly what
it is. God's in all of us, depending on your religious belief. And he just opened the door.
Pretty much. That's what I believe, too. That's what I mentioned before, right? He basically opened or activated it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know, it's like that side of you that you kind of suppress, some more like angry, you know.
Exactly.
Alistair has a major pull.
I think when they talk about devil, it's kind of a metaphor.
Yeah, for like,
you know what I mean? For our human being behavior, how we can be too.
And your primal instincts.
Pretty much.
Exactly.
And I think that's what they wanted to happen. They wanted.
And you push him over the edge.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think he's going to end up playing a bigger part in this. I don't think this is the last time we're going to see, like, this mansion or any of this stuff.
Alistair knew he was in the CIA, and who knows how he knew that.
Yeah.
I'm like, how'd you know all that? Oh, wait.
That is, how did he know that?
He has a lot of spite. I think all of those people were having orgies. And drinking and
it's so funny. Thomas is like, no, I'm not a part of the CIA. What are you talking about?
Martha's looking at him like, what?
Yeah. CIA, the organization explains. I'm not a part of.
And the thing is, Martha believed it, even though Thomas was saying, you know, this isn't true. Martha still believed it.
Yeah.
I found that very interesting. Martha didn't even question Alistair about that. Mm-hmm. She believed it in a second.
Because she knows.
It was interesting.
She knows this guy's right.
Yeah, when you looked at his face, makes sense. He was trying to be like, oh, he got me. No. No, it wasn't. What?
So it was great acting. You
mean? Like, you're
a bad liar. How are you in the CIA?
Terrible liar. Right.
Bad acting, Thomas.
All right, before we move on to anything else, we have a very special announcement we want to tell you guys.
Ooh. Hey, AfterBuzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can do it. No problem. Yeah. We, of course, wanted to say thank you for making us the ESPN of TV Talk, everybody, right? So everyone who's watching right now on YouTube, please leave us some thumbs up, 5, as I'm always saying, right? 5 stars as well, because we want to continue doing that. We are like a family here, but we are nothing without your support, right? So 5 thumbs up, 5 stars, and we gonna make it happen for you even next week. Thanks.
Thanks, man. Family. Okay, so moving on to Alfred's storyline. He thinks he has found Esme's killer, and I put a big emphasis on thinks because I just have a feeling that's not really her killer, but we'll get into that more later.
Good point, though, by the way.
Yeah, let's just talk about that right now.
I can feel it.
Do you guys think that's really his killer?
I think so, because he was running away. He knew why Alfred was chasing him. If I didn't kill her, I'd be like, why are you chasing me? Like, I wouldn't be like, oh, shoot, he knows and runs. Mm-hmm. So I think... It is him.
It feels too easy for me from a story writing perspective.
Exactly.
I would feel like the story writers do that on purpose to make us believe, taking us on a journey. Then out of a sudden,
100% agree.
I didn't expect that.
Unless,
you know, that's a very typical thing.
He was like ordered by someone, like to kill him, and he like decided to to escape so he wouldn't tell him who's the real person who actually ordered.
Oh, part of the conspiracy.
Yeah.
And I keep thinking, even though I don't want to believe it, I almost wonder if it's his mom and dad.
Oh my god. I just wanted to say that.
In the comments if you think so too.
Yeah.
That would be so crazy.
When I saw the dad at the end sitting in the audience when she likes talking to it to these people, I was like, oh my god. I definitely can see that for sure.
And so we see that they find, so his name is John
Fitzsmith.
So they find his uniform, and on his uniform is Esme's ring, which completely breaks Alfred's heart. Like, he's still reeling from her death. Do you guys think he'll ever get over her death, or is it he won't get over it until he catches the killer?
I mean, first of all, I don't want people to expect him to get over it already. That's a big thing, okay? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, mourn all you want. If you want to mourn for 3 years, keep mourning, okay? So, you know, I was, you know, I completely understood him still being upset. I don't know how much time has passed, but I still understand. So
yeah,
not that long.
Yeah.
I think that's something in general that you will never forget, right? It's always going to be with you. That's what I believe. From a human being perspective, you always feel that no matter what. Even if you're going to get into a new relationship, mm-hmm. you will never forget and feel for this person, you know?
Right. Yeah.
That's what I believe.
It would be so traumatizing. Yeah. And a certain amount of guilt if he hadn't been hanging out with Martha. Mm-hmm. He might have been there in time. And in the chat, I asked who they thought might have killed Esme. Yankee Yapping says, I agree. I feel like they're going to swerve us. It won't be Curzon. It'll be someone else.
Ooh. Oh, I love you, man.
Ivan Soto says, I don't know. We don't know.
We don't know either, man.
And then ER's grandpa says, actually, based on the last 5 seconds, could be his dad.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
I'm with you on that.
She would have been a good daughter-in-law.
Well, yeah.
But he would have done what the Raven Society told him to do.
It was such a precious moment.
And speaking of that, I really did like that moment between Alfred and his father.
I'm liking his dad. Don't make me hate his dad now.
Right, exactly.
I hated his dad. Yeah. Then I liked his dad. Now I'm going to hate him again? No, I want to like him.
And can you imagine, like, Alfred is cleaning off his dead fiance's ring. Like, that in itself is heartbreaking. So his father sees that, and just it's so heartwarming, because in previous episodes the father wasn't really feeling Esme. And so now fast forward and you see the father, you know, trying to help his son out, trying to comfort and console his son. What did you guys think about that moment?
Was it guilt? Dun, dun, dun.
Oh my god.
I loved it, because I felt like, you know, if it was, you know, any other day or something, and he saw Alfred being like that, he'd be like, chin up, son, or something like that. Get over it, be a man, you know? Like, what are you moping about?
I mean, for some reason, the way the kitchen scene, when he's helping his son, like, cleaning the ring, and how the mom was looking at them, I just got the feeling that the mom is the one. You know,
really?
What I mean? For some reason,
she's so,
you know, see, think about it, because when we see him at the Raven Society,
the nicest,
he's just
one too.
But that's exactly why. You know, think about that for a second. That's one that you would never expect, in a way, right?
Oh my
and remember,
gosh.
She did say she saw a man and a woman entering at the same time.
Exactly.
So it has to be a man and a woman. So the army guy would have had to brought a woman with him. I don't think it would be the maid that was cleaning. Because she's like, dude, I only roll up in here on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
That's
so
right.
I don't know. Like
I
that.
Need to, like, rewatch that episode. And, like, because we see the figures. And
I
so
saw
I want to.
But they don't look. They look.
Exactly. They didn't look like the parents.
They don't look
more
like
taller,
they look like
leaner.
Thomas and Martha Wayne. But we know it's not Thomas and Martha.
Ivan Soto says, did Esme look like she knew her killer? Like, she didn't seem like it was a stranger.
Yeah, I think I think it looked like she did know
them. She kind of knew them, maybe not best friends, but.
Oh, I know she knew them. Yeah. It's someone we all know as viewers and the characters. The characters know this person and we know this person.
Dang.
So that's going to be, I don't know. We'll see.
God, it feels like the Detective Columbus. You meant
You know who would figure this out in like 5 seconds? Batman.
Batman.
He would.
Batman.
Come to life, man. Where are you?
Yeah. He's
born already. Come on.
He comes from the future. I'm here to help you.
Yeah, exactly.
Come with me if you want to live.
The Flash is gonna bring him back.
That's a good point. All right, so Alfred, he's on the hunt for Esme's killer. He goes to this one place where it's a bunch of people in the military, I want to say.
It's an officer's, I can't remember what it's called, but it's an officer's retreat or something, an officer's...
Right.
Like a lounge?
Lounge or something,
like a lodge or something.
Right.
Lodge, yeah.
So
yeah.
No one is helping him. This one person finally decides to help him, and he finds out where this guy is. So fast forward, Alfred goes, he's trying to find the guy. He runs into none other than Bette.
Mm-hmm. Which I said several episodes ago that they were going to work together.
Yes, and I love them together, and I hope we see more of that. But yeah, what else did you guys think of them teaming up?
I mean, I was just thinking, how did the guy from the Raven Society, the guy with the nose. What's his name? Howard?
Howard.
How did he know about it? Because he told Bette about
it. He said he was talking to a lot of other people in the Raven Society, and people were talking, and so that's how he found out about it.
Because
Alfred.
I find it a little, like, confusing.
He heard it through the grapevine.
Okay. Right, exactly.
All
right.
They're all, like, high up mucky rumors in Raven Society.
Gotcha. Yes.
And of course people talk around their servants, if you want to be honest.
That's true.
It's like real life.
Not right? That I have a servant, but
of course not.
Ivan Soto says, Sykes, that was crazy. Mm-hmm. Which I have to agree. I loved when she said, I'd have caught him if it weren't for you.
I loved this duo. Like, I love it. And I think we're going to see more of that. And I hope we see more of that. And I'm actually really glad that Alfred didn't catch this guy, because the mystery is still, like, out there.
I can't believe that he was running with Ripper, and that was how he was even remotely able to catch up with the guy.
Right, exactly.
Keeps pulling you back.
I was low-key afraid. So when the guy... when the truck is coming, I thought the guy was trying to get hit by the truck.
Yeah, me too. That's what I thought.
I was like, okay, thank God, because that would have been awful. You would have been back to square one.
Yeah.
So that was cool. But speaking of Bette, she is still with her sister and Lord Harwood. Lord Harwood, he wants to make big plans. Mm-hmm. And that the first thing that he needs to do is meet with Dr. Gaunt. I want to know what you guys thought about her reaction to seeing him. Do you think she was really as happy as she came off to be?
Hell no.
I think so. No. Oh, okay.
Oh, really? No, yeah. I don't think so. I mean, as I was trying to analyze her face when she's hugging him. Mm-hmm. I mean, she smiled, but she didn't really. You know what I mean? It was like, oh, yeah.
Right.
Fuck. You know?
Exactly. Exactly.
You know what I mean? But, it's very interesting what his plans are, because if I understood correctly, he just want to basically make it, like, secretive, right? He doesn't really want to show himself in the first place.
Right.
He just want to be behind the curtain, first of all, so she's still in front of everybody, as we see at the end.
And then he wants to do, like, a big
Exactly,
reveal.
And then he reel on, but whatever, right? Mm-hmm. But I like this kind of idea. Why not? Right?
Yeah.
So, just keep it as it is for now.
And, what really got me thinking is, one of the first things she says to him is, she says, we need to get you out of the country where no one knows you.
To Germany!
You know? And, all right. And
Nazis. So,
we take everybody, okay? We love you, people.
And I'm just thinking, you know, she's the leader now. She has all the power. Why would she want to give that away? So, I don't think she's happy that he's back. Yeah. I really
totally
don't.
Totally agree.
But, you know, she decides to go with it. She decides to go with the plan. And he has a major plan. He's going to reveal himself when the time is right. That's going to be crazy. But what's even crazier, during a meeting with the Raven Society, we see a very familiar face. All together now, you guys. Alfred's dad.
Oh my God.
Shocker.
Shock.
That was really a shock, to be honest.
Yeah.
Shock. Yeah.
So that's why I believe it's the mom. You know?
not the dad that was at the meeting.
I personally think the doctor was happy being second in command or whatever she was. Mm-hmm. She doesn't feel the need to be in front. Because like she said, she's not really big into the whole intrigue and killing folk. Like, she was like, I let everybody think I killed the husband, but I didn't do that.
Right.
So I think she's totally fine with him coming back, and she'll be fine with stepping backwards. Because let's be honest, when you're the leader, you have to worry about being assassinated, being tortured by the crown.
Uh-huh.
And she was like looking at him like, damn, they took his nose. Damn, they took his... Oh, not about this.
That's a good
doctor.
Point.
That's a good point, but I still think that she's gonna wanna stay in that lead.
She just doesn't strike me as someone who's like hungry for power, you know? So
she's fine with being behind it. ER's grandpa says she wants to keep him permanently hidden.
That's a good point. I can see that. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like she still knows that he's well respected in the community, right? And I think now, kind of trying to fight against him is not worth it. It doesn't even work for her, right? So right now she's just trying to make the best out of the situation. Mm-hmm. So if he wants to be hidden at the beginning, that's okay. That sounds like a plan, as she said.
Right.
And then out of a sudden, maybe at some point, she's still trying something. You know what I mean? That's what I believe.
And I think he'll end up being right when he says, you can't trust the leader of the No Name Society. She is out to get you. And she's like, oh, no, I didn't kill his wife. And she was like, yeah. She don't care about that.
Right.
She's just consolidating her power, and then she's going to come for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So then she'll be happy to be like, no, no, no. Lord Harwood's in charge.
Not me.
Not me.
I don't know who you guys are.
Me? Yeah. Me?
That's the smart way to do it.
Right, right. All right, well, let's move on to our special segment.
Special segment.
Yeah. Ooh, all right. So
let's talk about. Oh, no, sorry.
Let's talk about Robs, baby.
Robs. So,
let's talk about our favorite Robins.
Ryan, where are you?
Hey. People let's talk about Robin. I'm Batman.
All right. Batman. So we're going to start with Cherryworth. Who is your pick? What's your favorite Robin?
Well, my favorite is, of course, the Red Hood, who's, of course, my favorite supernatural star, who is my Jarrett.
Jensen Ackles.
Damn it, I can never tell the two
that
brothers apart.
That picture is so good. That's an, I so thought it was handsome. Photoshopped, but he actually wore this costume in a picture. So.
Yeah. He wore it, I think, to a con.
Oh, my gosh.
To a supernatural con. But
that's so freaking cool.
I really wish that there wasn't a scheduling, because he was supposed to be in the DC universe as Arrow. I mean, in the MCU universe. I was like, no. Okay. I love you, Supernatural, but... totally would...
MCU? You said MCU?
He was DCU? Be Marvel.
Oh, wait.
He was up for the part to be... Hawkeye?
Hawkeye.
Okay. Oh, really?
But
okay.
He couldn't get... I don't think he could get out because of Supernatural.
Oh, okay. So, so we're going to go with Robin. Who's
That's
your favorite Robin?
It's Chris O'Donnell.
There we go.
You know? I don't know if you guys remember him. I mean, that was also the very first one.
I actually like that movie.
I think a lot of people really feel like it's one of the worst ever, right? Mm-hmm. That's what a lot of people say. But I kind of liked it. And he was actually the first one for me that I saw as a kid.
Okay.
I know the very old Batman movies, but I think this one was with George Clooney and Chris O'Donnell, right? Mm-hmm. So, and that was the very first one where I realized Robin, even, you know? That's the first thing that comes to my mind, and I'm thinking about him. And now, seeing him as a cop beside LL Cool J, it's, I think it's CSI Miami, right? Or something.
I think
they do that for decades already, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, at some point, I didn't even realize that's the same person, because he looks so different now than on this picture, like as a young kid playing Robin back in the days. Yeah. And look at him now. It's almost hard to tell that's the same person.
And I think I heard in an interview he did with Conan maybe or somebody that he actually owns that costume.
Oh, really?
Robin costume, like,
really?
But he doesn't really wear
that's
it.
That's pretty dope.
I mean, he looks good. You don't get me wrong, but he looks different some reason now. He looks more like a kid on that picture, but now he looks like a grown man, obviously.
Well, because he was a kid.
But usually, don't get me wrong, but usually you can tell in a second. But when I see Chris O'Donnell as Robin back in the day, it took me a second to realize that this is the same guy from CSI Miami.
Oh, really?
I couldn't connect the dots.
Oh,
so that's why I was a little surprised.
So you see that first movie that he broke out in.
Yeah.
He looks young in that, but
for sure.
He's aged like
that means the disguise worked. So.
But you're still pretty, man. Don't worry about it.
Now we're going to go with Pennyworth.
All right, so I could not choose between the two. So I picked first Carrie Kelly. She was in one of the Batman movies, and I thought this was really cool because we never really saw a female Robin before.
It's true, yeah.
So I thought that was amazing. Then I have to give it to the Teen Titans. The first animated series I loved like no other, and I was really bummed when they canceled it. So, yeah, the guy who played Robin, Scott Menville, I believe that's how you pronounce his name, and then Ariel Winter, who voiced Carrie Kelly.
Why did they cancel it, by the way?
Cartoon Network likes to cancel good shows like Young Justice, just saying, but luckily it came back. But I don't know. They do that sometimes. I don't know why.
And they did bring it. They brought Teen Titans Go. It's not really the same. It's more for a younger audience.
Yeah.
But it's a good show still.
All right. So my pick was the animated Robin that I grew up with from the Batman animated series. He was voiced by Lauren Lester. And first of all, I loved Lauren's voice. I thought he had to me, that is the voice I hear when I read comics and, you know, Dick Grayson's talking. That is the voice I hear, and I loved. It's just you know, the interpretation was great. Like, he had, like, you know, the sense of humor, you know, he had, like, you know, little funny moments, and, you know, he was just, you know, the epitome of Dick Grayson. And I actually kind of met Lauren Lester, but, like, I didn't know it was him, because I didn't know what Lauren Lester looked like. And then I realized, like, I was at this, like, book signing, and then later on I was like, oh my gosh, I met Robin, and I didn't even know it was him.
Which they usually like. That's what the people
yeah,
like that.
But I kind of feel bad. I would have liked to have given him some props, or at least thank you for being an amazing Robin. So.
All right. Real quick, let's move on to news and gossip.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I have two After news for you. TV news. Oh, yeah. So the first news is very interesting, because we talked about Lord Howard. I hope I said that right. Howard. Lord Howard.
Just one D at the end.
Lord Howard.
Yes, Howard.
Yo. So, and there's a picture of him, because I don't know if you are aware, people, but the Toronto International Film Festival is going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And
very
they
nice.
Basically coming out with a new movie, or they basically premiered it at the festival, called Military Wives, which is basically a show about the wives from the military guys, right? Mm-hmm. It's just specifically about the wives. Cool. of these men.
That's
and
cool.
He basically plays like a completely different role. He plays a good police officer. So it was very interesting for me to see him like in a kind of a different role, right? And I'm really excited to watch the movie. So I just wanted to give him some shout out, you know, that we should watch the movie and just see how he acts in it.
I'm
know?
Down.
So mm-hmm. that sounds pretty interesting.
Check out military.
Because I always wanted to know, like, you know, we know military movies. We know military guys. But mm-hmm. we don't really know about the background story, about the wives, the family.
Well, there was wasn't there a show on Lifetime or something about that?
Military Wives years ago.
Is it the same name?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And now, people, check this out. Check this picture. Who do you think it is on that picture?
I wouldn't be surprised if that's,
No. No? Close. Jack really? Bannon talked to him. Let me put it that way. In the show, he talked to him. Okay, give
the guy
you...
that plays Thomas Wayne?
No.
No.
Think about, like, it's an older generation. Let me put it that way.
I don't know. Who is
Michael
it?
Michael Caine.
I was about to guess Michael Caine.
Yeah, right.
Wow. Michael I mean, that Caine. Would be dope. Okay, Michael, Caine. I love you. No, but it's actually Danny Webb who plays... Mr. Ripper? Yeah.
Oh, wow. Cool. That is cool.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it is really
and
cool.
And I saw that picture on his, like, I think it was Instagram account, and this is in Wales, actually, back in 2018, and he was just like, yeah, it's a cool day. We have a lot of waves. Why not? Just do it.
Right.
And he's already 61, so he was 60 when he did that. I was
that
like, respect, my man.
Awesome,
respect
man.
To you about that.
Dang.
Good for him.
So,
but really
you would have never
shape.
You would have never recognized that, right? I mean, he looks like a young dude, so
I definitely
wanted to show that picture. And, that's from me. Thank
awesome.
You, guys.
Thank you.
Good news and gossip. All right, let's go to predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV prediction.
It's the mom. Thank you.
It's the mom.
Okay.
I don't think we're going to see who Esme's killer is until the finale of this show. I think they're going to, because we have like, what, 3-4 episodes left of this show. I don't think they're going to reveal it to the end of this episode or to the end of the season.
I think there's going to be some kind of, you know, confrontation later on. Not in the next episode, but sometime later, where maybe, you know, Alfred's going to have to decide, should I kill my parents or not? That's going to be a hard decision.
I think that Mr. Ripper is going to realize his nephew's in town. He's going to be livid. I think that the No Man Society is going to make a move on the Raven Society. And that Bette and her sister are going to have a little bit of a fight.
Mm-hmm.
Because she doesn't really like their closer relationship with Lord Harwood.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's going to start working with Pennyworth to figure out Vine, who really killed Esme.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And one more thing, Ryan, please help me on that. And we also going to see that Martha and Tom is going to do some.
Oh my God.
Hold on.
I keep doing it. I keep doing
that. Okay, we don't need the visual.
There you go. Hey.
Oh yeah. Be excited, people.
Well, on that part, thank you guys so much for joining us here on this after show of Pennyworth. We're so glad we're able to join you guys and talk to you about this amazing show. I'm your host, Benny Adams. You can find me on all social media at Benny J. Adams.
And you can find me on Instagram at MoreThanYouThink7 and the Secreto de Selena after show on AfterBuzz Latino.
Yeah, thanks everybody for joining. You can find me on Instagram at Benjamin Schnau, also the same on Facebook. And I also do the tarot show on Monday, 7 p.m. with her, with Anaïs, right? And we also going to do Bring the Funny, 9 p.m. on Tuesday. And on 7 p.m., I also do the Dark in German for you guys. Check it out.
You can find me, Cherry underscore LA, on Twitter and Instagram. And, of course, talking about the final season of Killjoys at 6 p.m. Pacific time every Sunday.
Thanks for joining us, guys. We'll see you next week.
Peace out.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.